From the minerals beneath our feet to the politics above ground, the 2025 mining indaba wasn't short on drama, debate or disruption. On nearly 10,000 delegates packed the Cape Town Convention Centre under the theme Future-Proofing African Mining Today, South Africa's place in the global mining landscape remains anything but future-proof. To unpack the dominant narratives, media sentiment and what the headlines say between the lines, I'm joined now by Joe Hamann, who's a director at Novus Group, whose team analysed over 2,700 pieces of media coverage from across the continent. Joe, thanks for joining us. Let's just dig in with the big picture. You've had a bird's eye view of the coverage around this year's mining indaba. If you had to sum up the tone and the narrative that emerged from the media, what stood out the most?
Yes, Michael, thanks for having me on the show. You're correct. The team analysed about 2,500 articles across television, radio and traditional media. The highlights were definitely in terms of positive. We found that 42% of the media coverage had a positive sentiment, but there was also 25% of the media coverage that had a negative sentiment. Positive sentiment was definitely more than negative, with things like, you know, they obviously, the Botswana De Beers diamond sale agreement had a positive tone. Sasol, Anglo American and De Beers' renewable diesel partnership had a positive tone. But then on the negative side, you know, comments by the minister about African countries withholding minerals from the US because of them pulling funding definitely had, you know, negative sentiment on the event.
I was going to ask whether or not the media portrayed that comment in particular as an isolated blunder or as symptomatic of deeper policy uncertainty. Now, the term resource sovereignty came up again and again this year. How did the media interpret this push for beneficiation and local value addition? Is there growing support or concern, or maybe a bit of a mixed approach around this shift?
There's definitely growing support. The impression we got is that a lot of countries want to not just export the raw materials, but actually do some of the processing themselves. But the big negative undertone there was the logistics. So things like rail, that's not delivering on what it's promising. But then later in the conference, when Transnet got involved and Michelle, the CEO, actually spoke, she did speak about public-private partnerships, which sort of turned the narrative a little more positive, because the feeling we got was that the public feels that if the mining companies and government could work together, they could solve the logistical issues.
Do you think the media is buying into the idea of meaningful public-private partnerships to fix this, or is there still cynicism?
I think there's still cynicism, but I think people are desperate. You know, they want something to change, and they're hopeful that something might change. I mean, this is the first time that a government department has really said from the top, the highest level, that they want to get private, public-private partnerships going. So yeah, it does give us hope.
And we saw the request for information, the RFI, which precedes an RFP, which is a request for proposal released by the Ministry of Transport under Barbara Creasy over the weekend. Again, combined with the network statement that was introduced by Transnet and what Transnet CEO said at the indaba, I think there are reasons to be slightly more optimistic. While I think many in the media are long in the tooth in jaundiced cynicism, there are encouraging signs on that front. South Africa's draft critical mineral strategy was also highlighted. What kind of media coverage did it receive, particularly around the controversial inclusion of coal?
Yeah, so that was a bit of a mixed bag, because on the one hand, there was quite a lot of positive coverage around the topic. But then again, the minister came in and the statement he used was coal is king. So then you had the environmentalists up in arms again. So the underlying tone of the mining indaba was it's very fragile. You've got positive things happening on the one side and then followed by negative things on the other side. So we hope to see some action taken out of some of these promises that were made, specifically around the logistics with Transnet. But yeah, time will tell.
There's this tension, though, isn't there, between, you know, our green goals and commitments under Paris and energy security. It's almost palpable in a country where load shedding has stalked us for the last 15 years. And we think of the fact that surely we need energy security first before we can think about our commitments globally towards a green transition. Coal as a critical mineral, maybe slower than needed decarbonization, all of these inherent tensions. How did the media make sense of the seeming contradictions here?
So a lot of media just reported on it as factual information. So they didn't really pick a side or comment on it positively or negatively. We just found that a lot of them, I think we realize load shedding is here. It seems to be getting less, but time will tell. But the feeling we got was that you had the environmental argument about climate change, and then you have the practical side, which is we need energy. And without coal, you know, that's not going to happen. So it was a bit of a mixed bag from both sides, but there wasn't one real narrative that came out of it.
Now, we've also seen South Africa fall dramatically in the Fraser Institute's mining rankings over the last two decades. I mean, you can almost draw a straight line from the introduction of the MPRDA to where we are now, consistently slipping down those rankings. From the coverage and the sentiment that you've tracked, do stakeholders still see South Africa as a mining destination, or has that ship already sailed?
Yeah, it's difficult to say because this is definitely the most coverage that we've ever received on the mining in Durban. So from a media point of view, there was a lot of curiosity. And also from the attendance point of view, this was the highest, this was the record attendance. So that makes us feel like, you know, it's still popular. But what is worrying is there's a 49% drop in mining tax contributions from last year to this year. So that is the reality of, you know, the economic side.
Yeah, exactly. That's where rubber hits road ultimately. Correct. And what we need to see is new greenfields investment. I know the minister often spoke about getting that up to 5% of global greenfields investment spend in South Africa, but we're still languishing around 1% from the latest numbers. I've been one who's been quite cynical around the mining cadastre. It was kind of promised year in, year out, and we now have another promise of finally having it up and running by the middle of this year. We'll wait and see. We're just a few months away from that. Just finally, from a media messaging point of view, what should African governments and mining companies be doing differently if they want to start to rebuild trust and attract much-needed long-term investment in our minerals and resource sector across the continent?
Yeah, I mean, our feeling is just that the politicians tend to sometimes comment without thinking of what the actual impact would be down the road for the average South African on the street. So things like, you know, land expropriation without compensation, that scares investors off. So I think they should start steering away from that narrative and saying things like, King Coal is back, which obviously gets the environmentalists up in arms. I think they just need to take a bit of a more sort of vanilla approach, try and, you know, deal with the issues, which is, you know, unemployment, energy, etc. And then if they can get the logistics sorted out with Transnet and getting some public-private partnerships going, that could turn the wheel in our favor.
Absolutely. And, you know, as your research has shown into the media coverage, there is unprecedented interest, unprecedented attendance. So if only the policymaking and the planning could catch up to that opportunity. Thank you very much, Joe Hummond from Novus Group, for giving us the media pulse on Africa's most important mining gathering. You're listening to Classic Business on Fine Music Radio.